Blog Talk Radio. I purposely held off on the, you know, really, really doing a broadcast on the Trayvon Martin incident because, you know, I wanted to let everybody get their says and things. Because brothers and sisters are asking me, you know, are you going to do something on Trayvon Martin? Are you going to speak about the case or, you know, the verdict and what happened? And I'm like, I'm surprised people are shocked at the verdict. You know, I'm surprised that people are shocked at the verdict. The outcome of the verdict and the, you know, the, you know, the initial, you know, expectations of it and the after, you know, what happened afterwards, you know, which is what usually happens. The same faces show up and the, same, you know, action follows, marching and things of that nature. But I want you to pay attention to something very closely, because right after this Trayvon Martin thing happened, there was another incident, which they're referring to as the Trayvon Martin incident, and in Florida, where you know, they guy got out of his car and he shot into the car of four young black men, killing one of them because the music in their car, according to the story, was too loud, and he asked them to turn it down, turn off something and like that, and they were going back and forth, and they were saying that, according to what he said, the guys got out the car acting like they were going to get out the car and do something, and, you know, he was afraid for his life, so, you know, he had that stand your ground law, you know, which is out there in Florida, and if you think somebody's trying to intimidate you or threaten you or harm you in any physical way, harm you physically in any way, then you have a right, if you have a weapon, to use it, a gun, to use it on them. So, you know, that gives a lot of ammunition, a lot of leeway to paranoid people, people who are trigger happy, people who are looking or have a issue with black people, to run and hide behind that law. You know, a black person who might be to them considered menacing, you know, they'll hide behind that law and say, you know, I did it because of this, or I did it because I shot him because I was afraid for my life. Right? Now, I noticed that this incident, the Trayvon Martin incident, got a lot of media play around the world. It caused international protests, not just here in America, but internationally, right? And then it took me back to the time of the biggest case, where it took me back to the time of Rodney King, right? And it made me think, like, Rodney King, you know, for the whipping that he took, the beating he took by the police at, you know, it was all over the place, and, you know, and how they blew it up all over the world. Then you had this thing with Trayvon Martin. And a lot of times these things are done, the media blows things up based on name and word association, right? I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to show you. Trayvon Martin. Martin is the last name. Rodney King. Right? King is the last name. Martin King. Right? So it'll eventually be some guy named Luther that'll probably be next. Right? Because the whole mindset, or to trigger a mindset, is to get people back into that civil rights mentality of marching. And what better name to be associated with a movement or action of marching but Martin King? Right? Last name, Trayvon Martin, right? Rodney King. Now, the other people, now you noticed when the Oscar Grant thing happened and, you know, other things happened, you know, racially biased things happened. They didn't get that much play. I mean, it got play, but it didn't get that national widespread thing, because it's all, you know, the media does these things, and people that control the media do these things to get a certain reaction and to cause a certain, you know, desired form of action by them blowing up incidents like this. They wanted to incite riots. They wanted to incite marching. They wanted to incite that civil rights mentality in black people again, right? And what that does is it puts our people backwards in their mentality, right? Al Sharpton showed up for this thing, right? And Jay-Z and Beyonce, they showed up for, you know, the march or, you know, for a photo op. They showed up for it because they want the, you know, the powers that be, they want the young black so-called hip-hop community to get more into that civil rights mindset, right? Why is that? Because it drives people backwards mentally, right? It drives people backwards mentally. It doesn't cause an evolution in their mentality. All it does is cause a revolution or drives them backward into a circle, right? Getting them to do the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome, and there's never a different outcome. These things continually happen, right? But the people who watch and who orchestrate this also want the same outcome. Believe me, they know that steam has to be blown off because of things like this. The powers that be, they know that steam has to be blown off. So they would rather you blow your steam off in the form of marching, protesting peacefully, right? Tearing up your own neighborhoods, right? Keeping it self-contained. Because by doing that, they don't have to worry about any insurrections. They don't have to worry about any of that violence or that racial violence spilling over into other communities, white communities and things. Like, they don't have to worry about that because they all, just as they induce the incident, they also control the outcome. It's no coincidence that people like Al Sharpton showed up out there. That's not a coincidence. Here this man is, here it is, they dragged him out of, you know, his newscaster job. He's a newscaster for a major white media outlet, I think CNN, I believe he does. And that man ain't marched probably in years, right? Not actively, but he came up out of here, out of his cushy job at this white media outlet to march. He looks sick. Man looks torn and tattered, right? Head all big and, you know, his body really, really small and looking emaciated, right? Why would they drag him? Why would he get involved in something like this at this time? Because Al Sharpton was pegged to be the face of the civil rights movement. Just as Minister Farrakhan was pegged to be the face of the black revolutionary movement. You know, truth be told. That's how you control the actions and the outcome and get the desired effect and keep the powder keg from exploding. Because you pick your leaders from the inside, right? You tell them when to march. You tell them when to hold protests. You tell them when to make inflammatory speeches and when not to. And they do it. This is all set up. This is all set up, orchestrated, to control the mentality of a people, right? Young black America, the young generation. Trayvon Martin, Rodney King, Martin King. That name incites what? In the memory of the young people who don't even know or who don't have any true knowledge of Martin Luther King, that name incites protests, peaceful protests, marching, you know, foot shuffling, Uncle Tom and begging for rights, begging for justice. That's what that incites, right? It is done to create another generation of beggars, people who will merely go with hat in hand to the white justice system, right? Because it was all meant to play on black people and their racial, what's the word I want to use? Their racial their racial inferiority, or what they feel they have. Of inferiority over their own minds. I'm not saying black people, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying black people are inferior to white people or anybody. I'm saying that black people have this mentality of inferiority stamped in their minds in this country, right? This is why they always want to go along and be along with everything that white people do here. They want to be a part. They want to be accepted. Right? They have black people have no racial pride here whatsoever. That's why they want to mix their seed with everything that's not black. So their children's hair don't look the same and all this other madness. Right? And this affects the mentality of young black America, why they don't even have respect for their own lives. Right? They'll kill each other in a heartbeat. So of course, nobody else has any respect for black people's lives. The Trayvon Martins, that, like I said, more that will come, will be produced by black people, not just white. Because George Zimmerman, I'm going to show you something. George Zimmerman is not even white. George Zimmerman is a Mexican. Right? Don't get fooled by the name. They say his father's a white man, his mother's a Mexican, but don't get fooled by the name. He's not a white man. He's a Mexican that shot down a black boy. Right? So now, what does that show you? How is it a racial thing, a white and black thing, when a Mexican shot him down? Why? Because, you know, they said that a well-known distributor called Koch and Koch distributes, makes toilet paper and all kinds of other things, put up money for George Zimmerman's defense. Right? Thus showing you that the human race sticks together. Had Trayvon Martin got shot by an East Indian, had he got shot by a Mexican, had he got shot by a white man, whatever, anything other than black, you would have had the public standing up for that person in the white media, meaning secret companies and secret racists who run corporations support that person who is non-black for shooting down a black, so-called black. So that shows you that they all stand together as the human race. They all got each other's back. Why would the white man back George Zimmerman, who's a Mexican? Clearly not a white man, because he's not a black man. Right? They happy to see other black men shooting down other black men. And like I said, had Trayvon Martin got shot down by a black man, you wouldn't even seen this on TV. So this is all nothing but sensationalism. And right now, this society is bred on sensationalism. It acts as an impulse or a shock, a mental shock, to keep this society going. In other words, when you don't have anything to stimulate the minds of people, you have to do things like this. You have to cause a mental stimulation in the people to get people talking, to get people thinking. So Trayvon Martin, whether you know it or not, was that sacrifice to start mental stimulation and start movement going in this country, mental reception, even though it was on a sub-mental level, to get it going. To get people to start thinking and talking again, because pretty much people are walking around here in America like zombies. And that's not really good. The Beast understood it's not really good for the evolution or the revolution of his world. It's not good for the revolution to have a bunch of mindless people. Not too mindless. I mean, they want people, don't get me wrong, they want people on a sub-mental level, but they don't want them beneath even going even lower down, not even to where they're not even registering on the mental level. And that's what's basically happening in the society. You have people who are not about anything, don't stand for nothing, don't care about nothing. They're just about the football game, smoking weed and all that. And that can make people who have mentalities like that can make your societies go down even faster. Right? That can make your societies go down even faster. To have people who are not into anything, who don't care about anything, right? So what do you have to do to get them to think a little bit, to find out where their mind is at, find out where their head is at? You have to incite something or take an incident that happened and blow it up or put it in the media to see what the thinking or the mindset of the people is. Because understand, this society runs by one of the major things this society runs by, which is within the five P's of this society, psychology, right? The psychological, they want to know what you're thinking, right? The psychological, the psyche deals with the mind, so they want to know exactly what you're thinking. They'll introduce you to certain incidents in the society just to see how you react, because how they control you is to see how you will react psychologically to things. That's why they blew up Trayvon Martin. That's why they did that. Rodney King, right? Put the civil rights mindset to see if y'all have evolved beyond the civil rights thing, see if y'all still in that civil rights mindset. And they see that they can induce that in you by just putting some certain people in those, from those parameters, and people who were known to do that, put them in that, put them in action. AKA the National Action Network, NAN. Right? That's all done purposely. We're going to go into great detail about that, as we've already started already, more in-depth, mentally in-depth about this, why there will be more Trayvon Martins. I am the intellectual Amir Nubin Menkares, and this is State of Mentel Radio, and tonight we're speaking about more Trayvon Martins to come. To the State of Mentel members and the people who are looking to become members of the State of Mentel, I say to you in the mentalist greeting, Menzeka Aminun. There will be a State of Mentel reception in New York City on Sunday the 28th, on the third floor in the gallery, not on the first floor. I just wanted to get that out there before, while it's on my mind. So, back to Trayvon Martin. This is a study and a focus in futility. You have people who taking their energy and putting it into things like this, marching, and nothing comes out of it. Nothing. It's just a way for people to exhaust their mental energy. They exhaust their physical energy to march for nothing, to say that this will never happen again, yet it happens again, over and over and over again in a rotation, right? So there will be more Trayvon Martins. Those of you young men out there who have the last name Luther, Martin, or King, be careful, because you could be next. These people are after sensationalism. These people are after inciting or inducing a mentality in our people and in the world of that civil rights march, right? March, right? March, like soldiers, orderly, right? Even your protests are orderly, right? Protest. Right, I broke down that protest to produce a test in the people to test how you will react. That's why they incite these things and blow them up to see who will react to it, who is more advanced, who is smarter. Okay. This is all done purposely. I'm going to take a call early on in the broadcast. 904.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I am fine. Okay, you said there's more Trayvons to come, right? So how do we stop this? And how do we stop this pandemic? Because, I mean, to a certain extent, within these neighborhoods, can you almost say it's the parents' fault?
Can I say it's the parents' fault?
Yes.
Absolutely. It's not, it's just the parents' fault. It's the fault of all Black America's fault, because, like I said, when you raise a people, when this generation here, when you raise a people and you have Black people running around out here who don't really belong to anything, don't really belong to any mentality that's a movement or organization that's of their own, right, that's not involving everybody else, when you don't have people who are standing up for nothing, who are not about anything, then anything will happen to them. The Black man today, as I always say, the Black man and the Black woman today don't stand up for nothing. They don't stand up for each other. They don't stand up. They stand for stupidity. And it's promoted in our people that our morale and our morality, our morals have gotten low. So when you raise a group of children that are, you know, listening to ignorant hip-hop, that are smoking weed, that are you know, got this lawless and disorderly mentality, it'll come out in the public, it'll come out in the world, and it's being promoted in your rap videos and your rap music to produce a lawless and disorderly people. And then it feeds the mentality of people like your George Zimmermans, who will come in and be attracted to your Trayvon Martins to come in, and there's an interaction, because now when you carrying yourself like you, it's like you're attracting that sort of thing. You know, you like a lot of this young generation here, they attract the police. They attract them, right? It's like you have a negative, and they're trying to present themselves as a positive to combat that mentality of the lawlessness and the disorderly hip hop. They're talking about shoot up everything, fighting and stuff like that. Because as I said, you got black men killing each other every day in every hood around America. Nobody's marching for that. Nobody's saying anything about that.
Yeah, that's the thing that strikes me about the NAACP is that, okay, don't get me wrong. Just because we don't see it in the news, that don't mean it doesn't happen. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of black community activists and organizationists in a lot of these inner cities that we see. They just don't get reported, like you said. But the thing that strikes me about the NAACP, I'm talking about, like, the bulk of their leadership, is that you really only see them make noise when it's a white on black crime. That almost kind of concerns me because on one hand, can you argue that they're doing this for publicity, but on the other hand, can you argue that they actually care and or they're reacting off a racist white supremacist system? I mean, what do you think?
Well, here's the thing. Do you understand? You do know who started the NAACP, right? So the NAACP was started by white people. It wasn't started by black people. It was started by Jews, by white people, right? So that whole movement was born in black and white interaction. So if it was born in black and white interaction, what's going to make it react? Black and white interaction, right?
Right.
All right. So that's why they react when it's a black and white thing, because, like I said, they've always had their hands in any organization, black movements that was started. They had their hands in it. So when they have their hands in it, like I said, they're gonna point it please understand, still white hands in the NAACP and these in the Urban League and stuff. There's white hands in that. They're the ones that point them toward what cases to deal with, what cases not to deal with, you know, what to get involved in, what not to get involved in. So it's all still there. That hand, that white hand is still there. And they're very much, you know, controlled by that racial thing. You know, they're not interested in what's going on amongst black on black crime or black poverty or Al Sharpton. None of them people are interested in that. It's only something when the white person get involved, because white to them means green, right? White to them means green. You know, black don't mean nothing. Black don't mean green. If you see these people showing up and they out here marching, it's about money. It's about being seen. It's about anything other than what it was supposed to be about, right?
I agree. It's really all about standing up for your own personal community. For instance, where I live, now it's the summertime, grant you, but you see a lot of these little boys no older than probably, 15? You know, okay, some of them in high school, some of them in middle school. All they do is run amok out here, and all they do is kind of cause havoc. I mean, if the parents don't step in and at least get them involved in some type of activity, you know, these, like you said, these boys, I mean, 9 times out of 10, that could almost lead to crime because they have nothing else really better to do. They want to find a way to make fast money and yada, yada. And not only that, but at a very young age. So my thing is, do you suppose that we reach the parents first? Because, to be honest, I think to reach the kids, you got to actually reach the parents.
Well,
and the parents are ignorant as they come too.
The old saying, you follow an ignorant child home, you'll see an ignorant parent answer the door. That's what you're dealing with, okay? Because what's happening is, and I always say this, I don't know if you're first time listening to my broadcast, but I always say this, black people, you know, in this society are not, you know, we have this lawless and disorderly mindset. We don't come together for nothing. We're not organized on law and order and structure. Like I said, if we was organized on law and order and structure like a real community, like a real movement, a real set of people, then these things wouldn't happen. You can't do that. Like, for example, had we been organized like, say, the Jewish community, like, or the Italians or whatever, had we been like that under one mindset, one flag, one thing, where, like I said, we're still here in America, but we are separate, you know, amongst ourselves, we wouldn't have these problems. Like I said, the prime movement at that time back in the day was like the Nation of Islam and things like that. You didn't see these things happen when you got black movements, strong black movements like that out here, you know, that's about the evolution of the people and coming together of the people back when the Nation of Islam was strong. But we need another movement like that organization, which is what we doing in the state of Mentel, where we talking about a separation within the black race because the black race is finished. That's why these things are happening to black people. Black people are low mentally, low morally, and they become this way because they want to be like the white man. They want to integrate with the,
well,
into that white
black liberals, a lot of black intelligentsia would tell you that the reason why blacks are the way they are today is because of it being a systemic problem.
Yeah, that's just a bunch of rhetoric for, you know, like I said, it's a bunch of bootlicking Negroes with a bunch of rhetoric who they got a million answers for why things are the way they are, but they don't ever have a solution. I say the reason why black people are the way they are is because they want to follow the white man. They want to integrate with the white man. They want to be part of what he's doing. They got the same mentality as the white man. So this is what you're seeing right now, because you can go right back to the origins of all this stuff and you see white people doing the very same thing that black people are doing now, where they like leaving babies all over the place, abandoning their children, being lawless, disorderly. Back in the 40s, 30s, and 50s, all the penitentiaries was white. Italian, Irish, Jew, they was all in jail. It wasn't black people in jail. But as soon as black people start coming amongst them, learning their ways and acting like them, next thing you know, the blacks are in jail. They up there committing crimes, leaving their children. The moral fiber is going out of the community. We ain't coming together and standing for nothing. The black woman's a whore like the damn white woman. Everything's all out the damn window now. So that's why you see this now. The young black men want to be gangsters and thugs. They want to be black Italians and black mafia and all this other nonsense. That's why you see that right now. They following the image of the white man, right? And not the good image. And even the ones that supposed to be trying to follow the Ivy League image of the white man, they even worse. Yeah, you know, because they got this detachment mentality when it comes to black people and whatnot. They don't think they black no more. So, like I said, even they end up being used.
But in a way, they kind of talk down. In a way, they kind of, I would go as far as to say they somewhat in a way talk down towards blacks by thinking that they have the answers towards the community's problems, and they present themselves as though they are the representative of black people, when in all actuality,
they don't have the answer to
like
anything.
Said,
they don't even understand.
They're not in those neighborhoods. 9 times out of 10, they're not in those neighborhoods.
They don't have any answer to anything. All they want to do is kiss the white man's ass. That's all they want to do. Right, that's all they desire to do. All that's trying to stand up and come off as an authority to black people, all they doing that for is because they probably want to write some books and have you buy it. I mean, that's all it's about. Or just, you know, seem like they somebody, because in the white world, they nobody. And when they really want to exist within the white intelligentsia, you know what you say, within the white world, but they can't exist there, so they want to come up and stand up over black people with their so-called PhDs and they, you know, they good,
well,
you know, all that nonsense
from
the white
people. Michelle Alexander, right?
Who?
Michelle Alexander.
Who is this?
She wrote the book The New Jim Crow. She's basically an ex-attorney. She's a scholar on law. She's a black woman. She wrote this book called The New Jim Crow. And I'm not going to lie, I recommend that you kind of do get it, because it's a very good book. But I'm talking about people like her. You never see her in inner cities, but she gets on TV and acts as though she is a representative of the black of the black race in America. And her, Michael Eric Dyson, a lot of them, Cornel West, although I like him too, but, you know, a lot of these individuals...
No, he married to a white woman. He married to a white woman.
Who, Cornel West?
Yeah.
Oh, I never knew that.
He's a big old black Caucasian. Yeah, with his afro all, and, you know, and he loved being up in white people's faces. Love it. Just love it. Love trying to sound intelligent. Love trying to be so-called intelligent up in white people's faces. He, like I said, you ever watch him on Bill Maher? That Negro, where he'd get all up in Bill Maher's face like he's trying to suck the air out of Bill Maher out of his damn lungs. You know, These are Uncle Toms. So all these Negroes, all these educated Negroes, a bunch of Toms. They love the white man. Like I said, they don't serve no purpose. They no different than them Negroes standing on the street with their pants hanging off their ass, smoking weed all day, being lawless and disorderly. They don't know what's going on. They no different than them. They all are useless. They are the problem, like I said. And we advocate in the state of Mentel, and we the third right, or the third right, you know what I'm saying? I said right, not right. For people to think it's some Hitler thing. I said the third right or out of or the separation of within the black race. That's what we advocating, because back in the day, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the old Nation of Islam, they advocated separation between the black race and the white race. We advocated separation, not just that, but a separation amongst the black race to take some of our people who are mentally in tune, who are going to move to the next level and see that this is a bunch of foolishness here that black people are participating in, and we're hoping to breed a better people out of this foolishness and madness, because it's our own fault. It's black people's fault that things are like this. It's not the white man. It's not anybody else. It's black people's fault that this is like this, because their mentality has become low. They've allowed their mentality to become low, submental, and this is what you're seeing
okay,
right
so,
now.
So what about Trayvon? Would you say he caused his own death because he had a low mentality?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep, and I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
Because Trayvon Martin, just like young black America, the majority of young black America is with this whole hip-hop, weed-smoking, tattoo, pants off your ass mentality. That's the mentality of young black America. You understand? That's the mentality, that whole hip-hop community, that thing, that disease, that mental disease that Russell Simmons helped to spread, that whole hip-hop mentality. You know what I mean? He was a part of it, too. You understand that? We all the same. You know, everybody a nigga, you know what I'm saying, nigga, and all that whole mentality. Yeah, that's a part of it. Listening to lousy hip-hop, you know what I mean? What's that, Rick Ross listening, a bunch of nonsense. That's the big part of the problem. That hip-hop mentality, that lawless and disorderly mentality that's in the black man. And I'm not talking about the law and the order of the white man. I'm talking about upholding the true law and order of God, the Most High. The true law and order, not the white man, over the white man, holding up the highest law and order and carrying yourself on a higher level beyond the white man and everybody else on this planet, like the black man and black woman is supposed to be doing. But since we don't want to do that, since we want to be niggas and we want to listen to hip-hop and we want to smoke weed and the majority of our people don't want to keep the law and the order of God, that's why you see our people like that today. And you allow to go into the white man and he punishes you.
I agree. So let me ask you this: so if Trayvon was like that, so can you? So is Zimmerman's story believable that he got swung on? He got swung on first.
It don't matter. It don't matter at this point. I'm making it about George Zimmerman. Like I said, if the Most High, because like I said here, we acknowledge that the Most High is real, the one who created the planets, the heavens and the earth and the universe, man and woman. If the Most High wanted Trayvon Martin here, he would have been here. But obviously the Most High didn't want Trayvon Martin here. So if he utilized George Zimmerman to get rid of Trayvon Martin, oh well. That's the outcome. I'm not taking George Zimmerman's side. I'm not taking Trayvon Martin's side. I'm on the side of the Most High. Because like I said, at the end of the day, if you serve a purpose in the plan of God, the Most High, the true Most High, Amen, if you serve a purpose in Amen's world and his plan in the future, then you're going to be here no matter what happens, no matter what the white man do. Nobody can stop that. But if you don't serve no purpose other than just to die and your death be symbolic for a greater change to come or a greater evolution mentally to come with the people, then that's what it's there for. That's what he was meant to do. Certain people are meant to die for a reason, and that is beyond man's hands, beyond the white man, beyond the black man, beyond all man's hands.
Wow, I mean, when it comes down towards this Trayvon Zimmerman Martin case, you almost could find really no black person who has a neutral position like you do. Oh wow! No. I would go as far as to say this is almost a first. I'm talking to somebody who has a very neutral position on this, who was a very neutral position on this case because people within my family and around me, you know, they just don't want to hear. They just don't want to hear that. I'm not trying to say the man's a good guy or anything, but they just don't want to hear it. They just want to hear the fact that he's a bad guy. He shot somebody black and he was racially profiling someone. I could almost find no neutral position on this.
Well, Trayvon Martin, that's why I said it'll be more Trayvon Martins out here, because Trayvon Martin is supposed to be symbolic of young black America, where this society sees young black America weed smoking, lawless, F the police. You know, that junk that Easy and them started back in the day, F the police, help promote that lawlessness and disorder. I'm not saying you supposed, the black man's supposed to carry himself to a higher code of conduct, and the black woman's supposed to carry herself to a higher code of conduct as well. If you're not doing that, then you're going to fall under the beast. And I'm going to do a broadcast on the code of conduct that this black man and black woman's supposed to be carrying themselves by, beyond the law, above the law, above and beyond the law, so that we don't have to go through these things. But see, the black man and black woman, the average black man and black woman don't want to do that. Y'all still want to be niggas in the hood. They still want to smoke their weed, to my F the police. So you come in contact with these people, because if you moving on the same frequency mentally as these people, on the same sub-mental frequency as the white man and all of them, then you're going to butt heads with them. And that's what happens. That's what's happening right now. So more Trayvon Martins will come out of this, because our people have not lost that hip-hop mentality. They have not lost that Uncle Tom mentality. They have not lost that playing games mentality, leaving the black woman all over the place with babies everywhere, not taking care of their responsibilities. Look, running to the damn white man. Stop putting that white Jesus on your neck. Y'all black men ain't stopped doing that. Y'all ain't stopped standing up and being real men. Then this is what's going to continue to happen to you.
I agree. Well, thank you so much for taking my call.
All right. Next call, 248. 248. 248. 248.
Hello.
248. Yes, 248.
I'm sorry. I was just listening.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right, 302. 302, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Newman.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
All right, this is Hollywood.
All right, brother, I know. Brother Hollywood.
Yeah, okay. I was just sitting here thinking while you were talking about, like you were talking about the uniform, and you were going to do a broadcast on how we stay above and beyond their laws and things like that. And it made me think back to how, I think we had talked about this before, but how when black people respected ourselves, we used to wear suits, and you know, we'd be wearing whole suits and hats and shoes, and the women wore dresses that were respectable, and you know, they were business owners and things like that. I wonder where did it change from that to the hoodie and the booty shorts? I don't understand where transformation came from. How we lost that. I mean, I know some of us still have that same respect, but the majority of us just went the hell crazy. And I can't really stand being around these people, man. But hey, that's just what, no, I hate my neighborhood.
Yeah, well, man, see, you ain't the only one. I can't stand the damn black man and black woman. I can't stand the black man, the average black man and black woman. I can't stand y'all. Not saying you, but I'm saying the ones of our people who are not on that level mentally, not trying to raise up mentally. Now, people listening to this broadcast will be like, oh, he's saying he hates his own people. No, you know, like I said, I hate the mentality of my people. You understand? Of the so-called black race. And y'all not trying to evolve and change beyond that. Yeah, I hate the mentality of the black race. Because y'all still, like I said, the majority of our people, the so-called black people, they want to still do the same negative things and expect positive outcome and results to happen. They still want to do the same things they've been doing. Like I said, they don't want to carry themselves to a higher esteem or a higher code and a higher code of conduct. They don't want to carry themselves like that. As God men and God women, as men and women of God, the God-like beings, our men and our women, they don't want to carry themselves to that higher level. So this is what happens to them. If you don't carry yourself based on a higher principle, a higher principality, then this is what happens to you. This is what happens. You go under their law, like it's like the Jews. You see them? They carry themselves to a higher principality, but in their community, their neighborhood, they walk around all over the place. Nobody bothered them. Because
Well, that's where I got it from. I got it from, you know, my grandfather, and you know, they respected themselves. You know, they wore the full 3-piece suits, you know, today, you know, just out on the street, you know, going work from here to there. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know where that sudden drastic change came from to the hoodie and the white tee. I don't understand where I came from. I mean, I still wear shoes. I think I got the only pair of sneakers I have is for exercise.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand where that came from. And it's majority people in my neighborhood, you know, they do smoke weed all day, drink all day. See them in the same spot you ride by. They're in the same spot every day. I mean, what's productive? What's productive about smoking weed all day, every day, and getting smashed all day drinking alcohol? I mean, what are you getting out of it? What does it actually help you do?
Well, you know what it does? It's dead people. You got walking zombies who are trying to cause some sort of artificial charge or jolt in them. So they get high and they smoke weed, they drink liquor trying to get a high. Because if they didn't do that, they would walk around basically dead all day. That's the majority of the black race. They mentally dead. So they get high and get drunk to add some excitement or some fire or whatever to spark them in order for them to, you know, have some sort of life. Because like I said, without that, they walk around like zombies. But while you're doing that, you know, you're killing yourself. You understand? And if you're killing yourself and you have that death aura on you, then you're going to attract dead people to you. You're going to attract the human race to you. You're going to attract these people to you, and they're going to come and kill you. Because you're asking this generation. Let me tell you, like I broke down the whole thing about the hoodie, how you have the black race, young black men, they walk around with the hood on their head, which represents the angel of death, the Grim Reaper. It represents the Grim Reaper, and they walk around with hoodies on their head. They smoking weed. They carrying guns. They shooting each other down. They drinking liquor. So that's why I said the black race has a death aura on them. So it's like you're calling these people. You're calling the beast. You're calling these people to come and kill you. You don't have a life aura on you. You don't have a life aura on you. You got a death aura on you. So it's like anything. It's like if you rub meat all over yourself, if you rub meat on yourself and you go into a lion's den, the lion going to rip you apart because you smell like meat. If the black race smell like death, everything in their mind is killing somebody, shoot this nigga down, shoot that nigga. I'm a blood, I'm a crip. You got everything with you is death and going to war and fighting and shooting each other and fighting. Everything is about destruction. Then you're going to get people who are destructive to come to you and destroy you. Because
yeah,
that's the frequency you send out. You know?
Yeah.
That's the frequency you send out. You know, and that's what's happening
thanks
today.
Thanks for taking my call, brother.
Mm-hmm. No problem. See you
thanks
Sunday.
Thanks for taking my call. I'll see you Sunday. All right.
All
third
right,
floor.
Brother. Third floor. Gallery.
All right.
All right. Like I said, our people, black people today, they have this death aura on them, man. Young black America has this death aura on them. It's like they ready to die. Look at that movie, that album Biggie put out, Ready to Die. Yeah, notice that was a very popular album. On that album, he was talking about killing himself, or, you know, he ready to die and all this other stuff, and he kept saying it, and like I said, that was the most popular album. It's still selling today. Ready to Die. That's the mentality of young black America. Hell, Biggie even said, I don't know if it was Biggie or somebody said, being black, young black in America, it make you want to kill yourself, make you want to commit suicide. Being black in America make you want to kill yourself. I'm like, really? This is the mentality that's being produced in young black men? You want to kill yourself? That's a white mentality. You want to commit suicide because you can't have some material possessions because you don't want to work for the material possession. You want to feel like you should be given things and have stacks of money, you know, and you do anything to have it just because you can't have it like a spoiled little brat. Then I'm ready to die because I can't have that. Mercedes or that BMW or that motorcycle because I don't want to work for it. I don't want to go to school and earn that or be a doctor or lawyer or do something to, you know, better myself. I just want it now. And if I can't have it now, that's like hell to me, so I want to kill myself. That's the mentality they're talking about. Because what the hell else you talking about? Oh, you should be ready like to die. I'm like, you Negroes, the way he talking like they live in a third world country somewhere where they ain't got no food, no hot water. These Negroes have to, their mother was working, putting nice clothes on their back, feeding them, have nice place, decent place to live and whatnot. You got people that wish they had that, and you talking about you ready to die because you want more, because you won't get up off your ass and go out and work and get more. So you got a whole generation, like I said, that have a death aura on them. They don't have a life aura on them. Like I said, the frequency that you have on you, the music you listen to, how you dress, how you carry yourself, it attracts certain people. It attracted George Zimmerman to Trayvon Martin. He was attracted to him. I don't mean in a sexual way. I mean in that being on gravitating to that low vibe and frequency, you attract these people to you. Right? They can smell it on you. The white man is good at smelling submental behavior because he has submental behavior. He's good at that. Right? And that's what happens. That's why he loves you, the young black generation of hip-hoppers. He loves going after you, beating the hell out of y'all and locking y'all up and putting his foot in your backs and stuff like that and blowing your brains out because, like I said, you feed that aggression of his. You feed his aggression like an animal. He's like the animal and y'all like meat. You feed his aggression. He already don't like you because he don't recognize you, right? You know, he don't recognize you. You're not his people. You like the lamb. You got the woolly hair. You like the lamb, the easy prey. He can beat up on and bust your head open, blow your brains out and whatnot. That gives him a charge, right? He ain't ready to give that charge up, right? Hell, you black men, like I said, you show yourself in the hood, busting your guns, killing other black men. You talk about it on your rap records and whatnot. So, and this is what you listen to. You talking about being drug dealers and flipping coke and flipping weight and shooting each other and red and blue and, you know, all this other stuff. So then you wonder why nobody has no respect for you, why people are afraid of you, why people want to kill you. Because that's your mentality. Rubbing off on them, attracting them. They already have that savage mentality in them. So when you come out that savage mentality, like I said, you come on to their level. Right? You come on to their level. And they love it. That's why I said there'll be more Trayvon Martins out there. As long as there's some hip-hop, ignorant hip-hop music, as long as there's some Rick Ross and whoever the hell else out there, or whatever new idiot they put out there, as long as that's happening, that's the breed. That's more Trayvon Martins to come, more young black men on the slab, right? More young black men on the slab. More young black men blown away, right? I'm not saying you black men supposed to walk around and be, you know, like I said, y'all got this mentality with each other and this whole hip-hop mentality with each other where you ready to fight and shoot and kill each other, right? But then when some, you know, and y'all tend to be more laid back when it comes to other people. Other people get a pass if they come at you, right? Everything is based on how you carry yourself, what you are adhering to, how you govern yourself, the laws and the mindset and the order in which you govern yourself, which will keep you living, right? Which will keep you living, which will keep you breathing, which will keep you in a state of evolution versus being a submental person who is in a state of constant state of rotation around a bunch of ignorance, around a bunch of people who want to do all they want to do is sit around, smoke weed all day, drink liquor all day, talk about negativity, killing each other, shooting this one, shooting that one. When you're around that people, that's a bunch of death around you. That's nothing but death. Those are the people who are walking dead. They zombies. The majority of your black race today ain't nothing but a bunch of zombies. Walking dead. Even you so-called intelligent Negroes who don't went to college and you got so much to say about the black problem and you writing all these books and whatnot, you Negroes are mentally dead too, man. You Negroes are mentally dead too. That's why them white police did what they did to that guy, Skip Gates, up there. You know, he's another one. Henry Louis Gates. He's another one. Right, that's why the white police did what he did to him. Right, now that white police did what he did to Henry Louis Gates. Right, frisked him, handcuffed him, and whatnot. There he is, a so-called college black professor. Treat him like he's some nigga with his pants hanging out with a hood on his head. Because y'all all, you know, and you know why he did that? Because symbolically and on a frequent level, he knows that you are really no different than the Negro with his pants hanging down. Y'all both been till he dead. That's why he did that. That's why he came to your house and got you. Because he can sense that on you. He knows, the white man knows the mentally dead ones of our people. He knows the ones who ready to die, who got a death aura on them. Because he rubbed his death aura off from himself onto you. And once he smells that on you, once he knows his mentality is in your head, then he's coming for you. You understand? It's like putting a mark on you. So it goes right back to the mark of the beast again. Goes right back to that. You have his mentality. And once you have his mentality, you become his opponent. You understand? You become his adversary. You become his equal. That's why they go back and forth with this black and white, black and white, black and white thing. Right? You feed his aggression. He needs a reason to live, and you give him a reason to live. By you being lawless and disorderly and doing all the things you do, not have not following a higher law and order and a higher principality, which we're going to talk about, which our people are supposed to be following to cause an evolution in our lives, that we're going to be talking about, that we're supposed to be following the law, that the new law we're supposed to be keeping in the next order, we're supposed to be following that, right? We wouldn't go through these things. We wouldn't go through these things. But like I said, the majority of our people, the 2/3, they don't want to hear that. Right, but then they think that this stuff is just going to keep, you know, happening and marching, going to change things. All that's on the submental level. All that marching and protesting is all on the submental level. Why? Because you got that marching and protesting and that sitting in and that thing, sitting in and protesting. You got that from the white man. Our people copy that from the white man. So everything you copy from him, like I said, it's going to always come back to hurt you, harm you, destroy you. And that's what's happening right now. That whole hip-hop mentality came from the white man. That whole pants off your ass, smoking weed, doing all the things you doing, that whole nigga mentality came from him. It came directly from him. That ain't something that came from you. That came directly from him. And y'all wear it proud like an emblem. You wear that ignorance like an emblem, the black race. So like I said, you can't be mad when it comes back to bite you. Right, when he shoots you down, when he disrespects you, right, when he beats you, when he embarrasses you, right, you can't be mad at that because you don't want to do the right thing. You don't want to do the right thing, right? He produces this kind of music just to watch you take it in, just to watch you consume it, watch you buy it, listen to it, because he's programming you mentally to be lawless and disorderly. He's programming you. That's why he pays these Negroes to come out here and make this kind of music, so that they can program you to be lawless and disorderly. So then he has a reason to exist. He has a reason to come and put law and order on your ass. He has a reason to blow your brains out because, you know, he says, you know, well, these guys, these black guys with these hoods on their heads and, you know, they got this mentality, play this, nigger this, kill that nigger this, and that's what y'all do. You know, they want to smoke weed and they carry guns and, you know, they're gang members and this, that, and that's what the white man say. And he says, so I'm afraid for my life, so I have to protect myself, I have to protect society, I have to kill them for the good of society. Right? And that's the... That's the monster that he planted in you. And then he does what? To make himself like a hero. He kills the monster. Because you Negroes have become monsters. You have become little monsters. Right? You have become monsters in this society. Don't sit up here and try to act like you niggas are innocent. You're not innocent. Not when you shooting each other down over colors. Not when you come around talking about throwing them hand signs and all this other and fighting each other at a drop of a dime and cutting each other up, shooting up clubs and, you know, acting like damn gremlins, like a bunch of damn evil gremlins going wild, demonic, demented, but you only act like that toward each other. You won't act like that toward the white man or the other races, obviously. You Negroes only want to be evil and demonic when it's toward each other. Whether it's toward the white man or the other races, you Negroes ain't like that. You know, you some nice law-abiding citizens. You can't treat each other that way. You can't treat each other with respect because you've been programmed by poison. We'll be right back. have this mentality, and we have to get out of this mentality that somehow, you know, we're not to blame for our own actions and the things that happen to us as an effect of that. Because you can literally attract people to you by your ways and actions. You can say to yourself, well, I'm not bothering nobody. I'm just doing my thing. I'm doing whatever, you know. It's like, you know, your mentality can call certain things to you, call certain people to you, just like it can make people get away from you, right? The key is to have people get away from you, right? The best way to have people get away from you is by carrying yourself by a higher code of conduct and a higher principality. That's how you make people move away from you. I'm experiencing that right now because I am constantly looking to carry myself on a higher principality, a higher code of conduct. And I noticed that all the people that were around me, all the people that were, around me, or, you know, in my company are starting to leave me. You know, not my people in the state of Mentel, no, but my people, you know, outside, and the people, you know, they don't really like talking to me or being around me because I'm casting off a certain energy, obviously. Same way Trayvon Martin casted a certain energy to bring Joy Zimmerman to him. They're attracted to that hip-hop mentality. The white man is attracted to that mentality. He's attracted to that pants off your ass and hoodies and, you know, smoking blunts and tattoos. He's attracted to that. You know how you know he's attracted to it? Because he tries to become that himself, right? He wants to be a B-boy. He wants to be down with that in some way, shape, or form. So he's attracted to that, right? And he has a love-hate thing for it. He loves it because he likes the image, but he hates it because it's on you. And he hates the fact that he can't mimic that image like you. So he ends up hating you. He's intimidated by an image. He might have been sitting somewhere watching a rap video and saw some young, nice-looking kid, black kid, with all the girls around him, and he all fat and pudgy, right? He all fat and pudgy, right? And he can't probably get no women unless he pay for it. And he hate that young, good-looking man because he can't get no women. Right, or he attracted to him sexually himself, and he know probably the kid don't go that way, so there's all kinds of things playing in his head. But he's attracted to him. Anytime you go out and want to follow somebody, you go into following people. Like you're a police officer, you're attracted to that image. Right? You got that mentality. Right? You are in his mind, and he is in your mind. So you two are attracted. You got his mark on you, right? You have his mark on you. So you call him to you. And once you call him to you, like I said, he's going to do what he does best. He's going to annihilate you, right? Like calling an animal to you, and you have meat wrapped around your neck, right? You black men in the hoods, you attract the white man by way of your submental behavior and your low mentality. You attract the white man. You attract law enforcement. He likes shooting you down. He likes putting up the FBI and them putting up pictures of you on the CIA putting up pictures of you on a crosshair board and practicing shots on blowing your black head off. Right? He likes doing that. Right? Because you are the people who were supposed to be carrying yourselves on a higher mentality, on a higher code of conduct, higher principle, right? People who don't play and who are not to be played with. That's not your mentality today. Everything with the damn black man and black woman is a joke. Like me, for example, when I was in Virginia, I walk into a restaurant, and I get this pretty much on the time. I tend to have a stern and serious face. Now, I don't do that purposely. That's just how I look. I have a stern and serious face, Now, what this does, and I've watched black people and people in general do this, when they see that I have a stern and serious face, it to them looks like I'm mean or I'm angry or something like that. It's just that I just don't, that's just how I look. I have a stern and serious face because I probably have something on my mind or I'm thinking on something on a higher level, and that tends to put a look on my face, so I'm just maybe so disgusted by, you know, these people out here and what I'm seeing. So I tend to walk around like this, not bothering anybody. Now, what will happen is people will start smiling in my face or laughing and, like, you know, giggling at me. And I'm like, I would ask them, well, what's so funny? You know, do I look funny? It wasn't that. It's just that people do that because they're trying to spark this silliness in you, this smiling, you know, thing in you, because when you have a serious and stern face and you're not playing with people, you know, the white man, he's the first one, well, that guy got an attitude or something like that, what's wrong with him? You know, they used to having a shucking and jiving all shucks Negro, right? Not a serious one, because they don't know how to handle that. They don't know how to handle a serious black man or serious black woman who's not playing. They don't know how to handle that. They like the cooning, buffooning, laughing and joking and all this other stuff, and you just, that's not the mentality. Right? That's just not the mentality. You know? You're supposed to carry yourself as gods. He gods and she gods. You're supposed to carry yourself as serious people, stern people. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with laughing or having a laugh, but, you know, you laugh at things when they're funny, and you don't try to laugh at things that aren't funny. Right? You're always supposed to be seen as a serious person. People respect it, even though they are begrudgingly, you know, distant from it, but they respect it. Because they can't find that much discipline in themselves to carry themselves in that higher principle and that, you know, above that submental way of thinking. They can't find that within themselves. So they will secretly admire that in you, your quietness, your carefulness with words, and not utilizing words as much, you know, and talking as much, but trying to be silent. And studying things and studying people and situations. That's something heavily that we advocate in the state of Mentel, that we keep our mouths closed and we're not trying to be jovial and whatnot. We're not trying to be mean either. Like I said, we're being, we're interacting, but there's really no emotion there. You know, we're scanning things. We're examining things. We're examining people. See, that's something black people don't do. That's why we're not really keen observers of people, right? We don't observe things, because if you truly observe things, you can see a lot of things before they even happen, 10 steps down the road. But because black people had this jolly shucks, coon mentality, everything ain't serious or everything a joke or something simple-minded, or like I said, you black men only want to get serious and act like you want to do something when it's toward each other. You understand? Because, you know, like I said, you a coward when it comes to everybody else. But, you know, you can tell or you can feel out people based on that mentality, based on, you know, carrying yourself in a stern manner where you're not allowing anything to interfere, with your train of thought, right? The black man here in America today, you've allowed everything to mess with your train of thought to where you don't even have a train of thought no more. The train is off the damn tracks. Your train of thought is off the damn tracks. You all over the place. You doing this more and more, especially this out, yeah, what that is, what that, you know, and you black men too, you doing that too. You starting to sound like cavemen. You can't even speak in clear sentences. You can't even speak in clear, articulate sentence. You're becoming like cavemen. So you're going backwards, and your behavior is becoming backwards. That's the mentality. That's the image that's spread about you, that you slow, black man, that you stupid, that you ignorant, that you make ignorant music, and you black men continue to do it, right, for a fistful of dollars. You continue to dumb down the generation of your people for a fistful of dollars. You don't give a damn, right? A lot of you so-called rappers, you help contribute to Trayvon Martin's death. I'm going to just say it like it is, with your ignorant messages, because it helped to breed this type of mentality in young black America. It helped to breed this mentality, right? It helped to have them in that mindset of, you know, kill, maim, and harm. Yeah. I don't know how many young black men I see around the hoods walking around with what we call buck 50s in their faces, where their faces get slashed by razors. You have to be some kind of demonic to do that to somebody's face. You have to be some sort of demonic to do something like that. I was going to say humane, but I'm looking for a better word. It's more of a, you know, you less savage, like if you shot somebody, more than you going to cut them in their face and you watching their meat hang out of their face and blood and things like that hang out somebody's face. That's savage. I can see you shooting somebody before you cut them in the face. That's like the worst thing you could do to somebody. Savage. But like I say, a lot of young black men are doing that to each other nowadays. That's the thing now. Cut each other, leave a buck 50 in his face with a razor. Then somebody do it to you. You understand? Leave ugly marks in your face. You know, women ain't looking at you no more. You got to go home to your mother looking like that. How can you do something like that to somebody? You better off just shooting them. I'm not saying go out and shoot nobody, but I'm saying, you know, that mentality is what got other people looking at you, studying you. The wrong people. Right? The wrong people. The wrong people are looking at you and studying you, are being attracted to you, thus killing you like Trayvon Martin, thus producing more Trayvon Martins for the police. You understand? That's what that produces. More statistics. Right? More statistics. Right? They become almond hunters. They become black hunters. Black man hunters. And a lot of you black women, you're going to be the new generation of Trayvon Martinets. A lot of y'all getting it already with the police see on YouTube beating the hell out you, throwing you up against the car like men. Never seen them do it to the white woman. You know what I mean? But they beating the hell out you black women, throwing you up against the car, punching you in the face, all kind of macing you, all kind of stuff. You know, because that's what your hand called for. You black women, y'all don't want to get yourselves in order. You don't want to start walking around being a whore, a slut, right? Laying up with everybody and everything. You don't want to do that. You want to be fighting in the street pregnant, fighting another niggerette in the street pregnant, right? Acting like a savage and an animal. So then when the white man treats you like a savage and an animal, then you don't know why. Like, why this happening to me? Why? I ain't did nothing. No, you didn't. You sure? You know, you got to have the savage and the animal handle you like a savage and an animal. So he's a savage and an animal, so he know how to handle you. He know how to whoop your ass and throw you right in a nice cage. That's what he do for you. Put the taser on you, you know, hold you down, beat you. You know how to handle an animal. An animal know how to handle an animal. You know? He know how to deal with that. See, but a lot of people swear we not wrong. You know? What do you do with the people that won't listen? You cut yourself off from them. Because more and more, we're trying to fit our way in. That's the quicker, that's like I said, that's a quick death to our people. You know? That's a quick death. And the death has been quickening ever since we started this in the late 60s and the 70s, not coming together as a community. We ain't, you know, getting rid of old beliefs and the philosophies and mentalities and things that have kept us separate. We don't do that now. It's not our mentality. We don't think it's important. You understand? We don't think none of this is important. Right? We never ask the question, what did we do? How do we live in our lives? You know? Are we doing the right thing? Are we saying the right thing? Are we conducting ourselves in the right manner? You know, are we conducting ourselves above and beyond this mentality, it's submental mentality. 24 hours a day, not just, you know, 8 hours a day of, you know, you being good or you being a decent, law-abiding person. No, every day. Every day. And I know that a lot of our people, that's not a reality to carry themselves on a higher code of conduct and principle every day. We don't want to do that. Right? Because the submental behavior has been made to look fun to us, exciting to us. Right? Hell, even you black women, you want the bad boy with the submental behavior. You want that. So the black man, he's going to act it out. Right? He's going to act it out. Even if it's in his heart and deep down his heart, it's not even him to be like that, but because he wants to get with you, he's going to act it out. He's going to be that. Right? He's going to be that. He's going to become whatever it is you want him to become. You want to become a thug, a bad boy, whatever, you're going to be that. And that role creates more Trayvon Martins as well. This bad boy in the hood thing, like I said, he do that most of the time to impress the women. Right? So you and him will end up, you know, where you belong. It's usually not a good place with our people. We become more serene in our, some of us have become more serene in our thinking, and we start to figure certain things out. Like, there is reaction to your behavior. What happened with Trayvon Martin wasn't an action, it was a reaction. Right? That wasn't an action, that was a reaction. You know? You carry an aura on you so long, you carry a certain energy on you, then it will come to you. The very thing that you don't want will come to you. Right? Remember, as I said, you humans are like animals. Right? They can sense fear. That's the animal trait in you humans. They can sense fear. Right? They can sense the person that can be a mark to them. Yeah? Or they can have the other side of them that senses good behavior. You know? That senses good nature in people because they are unnatural people. They move off of animal instinct, same way the animals do. They move off of animal instinct. You know, because they are animals. They move off of animal instinct. You know, George Zimmerman was moving off of animal instinct. He's an animal. So it was in him to attack. You know, it was in him to attack someone else, right? Animals attack. Animals devour. Right? Animals kill. Right? They kill those people who they don't recognize as their own. Right? Sometimes they'll kill their own, but 9 times out of 10 they will tend to kill those people or those, you know, that they don't recognize as their own. And that's what you saw happen. Right? Animals jumping on and attacking somebody. I feel bad, like I said, for his father. But like I said, you have to ask yourself, you know, how were you raising and how were you raised? Right? That tells you a lot. You know, that tells you a whole lot about people. Who raised you? How were you raised? What did you allow your children to listen to? What did you allow them to take part in? What did you allow them to be around? Because that goes out into the world on them like an aura. That's an attachment. All these things out here that you see, that comes from the beast, the hip-hop, the tattoos, the weed smoking, the mollies, all that stuff come from the white man. That's why I said you black people who engage in that, you got the mark of the beast on you. That's his mark. His mentality is the mark. His activity is the mark. Right? It's on you. That's why I said a lot of black people, they're not going to be able to listen to this. They're not going to be able to take this in because they got the mark of the beast on them. They got his mentality. They're not going to be able to take this in. This is only for the elect, the chosen. That's all this is for. Mental elect and this knowledge that we're giving our people is only for the elect, the chosen, the one third. Only they're going to understand this. They're going to have a complete understanding of this. It's not going to be for the majority of the black race or the world. It's not for them. So trying to convince them and trying to, you know, either it's going to hit them and it's going to resonate with them or it's not. Those are the two-thirds where it's not. Either they're going to come together amongst their people because, you know, you got, like I said, you got these people like, yeah, brother, you right. I know you right, brother, you right, you right, you right. They'll, you right me to death. But they're not going to come into the state and they're not going to be a part of this. So, like I said, you can write me all you want to, but if you're not part of this thing here in the state that we're coming together under, then what purpose do you serve? You fooled just like Trayvon Martin was fooled. He was fooled. Now you young black men, you fooled to the white man. You fooled. You feed and nourish him. You feed and nourish him and quench that thirst and that appetite to kill. You give it to him. When he'll blow your brains out and shoot you and whatnot, then go to the steakhouse and have a damn raw steak. He'll go right and have a raw steak and talk and only talk about it. All he'll talk about it and laugh about it and have a raw steak. Right? That's the mentality. You become food like that man. You become food. Like I said, young black America, y'all food for the white man. Y'all food. That's, like I said, that's why I represent that young kid that got shot after Trayvon Martin. They call him the next Trayvon Martin. Notice what's happening with you young black men, because like I said, no, the best food, the best kill is to kill the young. You know? That's the best kill because the young is considered to be faster. So if you could kill the young, then you a great hunter. You a great hunter. All right? We're going to play a little bit of music. We're winding down. We got 30 minutes to go. And I'm getting a little tired. But I hope you don't hear my voice, but I blow myself up. I'll let you know I'm getting a little bit tired, but I'm glad we're down to 30 minutes. It's been a busy day. We'll be right back. Walk on by. Thank you. We are down to the last 20-some-odd minutes of the broadcast, 23 minutes. And I just want to take this opportunity to say it again. This Sunday will be State of Mintel reception meeting this Sunday. We will be meeting at 3 o'clock from 3 to 7 on the third floor in the gallery, not on the first floor where we usually meet. We will be on the third floor in the gallery where we'll be answering questions, and I will be talking about reading the intelligence off of people. How do you read the intelligence off of people? Right? How do you pick up the intelligence off of people? Because by picking up the intelligence off of people, you can pretty much, I don't want to use the word manipulate, but you can pretty much, gear things the way you want it when you pick up the intelligence off of people. You have to be ahead of their conversation, though. You have to be able to run ahead of their conversation. Right, and your mind has to think quick. Right. Well, so we're gonna explore that. And there's something I've been wanting to do. It came to me when I was driving today. I was talking about something for the sisters, and I want to call this. It's gonna be called the Amen Sun Goddess. The Amen Sun Goddess Ball. That's something we're gonna be doing in the State of Mintel for bringing the young sisters out like a cotillion, like the white girls and the black girls who follow the white girls have cotillion, and coming out parties. We're gonna have the State of Mintel's Amen Sun Goddess the Amen Sun Goddess balls. We're gonna start doing Amen Sun Goddess balls where, as the sisters come in and they have daughters and stuff like that, it'd be first dances and etiquette classes on how they should conduct themselves and things like that. We're going to be doing the Amen Sun Goddess balls where there'll be dances. We'll do it once a year and things like that. Young brothers in the State of Mintel, young sisters and whatnot. I think it'll be something that we definitely need for etiquette class and how we are being trained to speak and talk and interact with each other and with other people. We need that. I mean, we have certain ways we react. Even how we're going to have to start interacting with the children, certain things that are not going to be allowed to be, how it's spoken. I mean, certain people already know it, but we have to learn how to alter our way of thinking. Even myself, I said I was going to do that anyway, where I was going to start policing myself a little more, but sometimes when things go through you a certain way, but I said I would start policing myself a little bit more in my speech and code of conduct and things, certain things. I end up carrying myself on another level of code and conduct, so I'm a little bit different. So this is very much needed in a time where we have young black men who have no code of conduct or ethics or morals about themselves. They're being reared up. They're not even being raised up. They're being drug up with no respect for anything, not for themselves. So if you don't have no respect for yourself, you're not going to have no respect or respect for your brother who looks like you. Nobody else is going to have respect for you. Like I said, this brother said in the chat room, he said, what if they took out all the rap music where it's talking about kill a nigga this and this nigga that, and they replaced it with white boy, kill a white boy, or kill a cracker, kill this cracker, put a crack on his back, rat-a-tat-tat, put a crack on his back. You really think that music would be out if they talked about doing that to a white man? Like Dr. Dre, rather tat-tat, put a nigga on his back or killing niggas bigger than if he put white man, he took the nigga part and put white man or cracker in there. You really think they would have put that album out? Right? And partly, a lot of you Negroes probably wouldn't even abort it because you want to hear about killing another black man. You want to hear about putting your aggression on another black man. Well, and I'm not saying put your aggression on anybody or harm anybody, white or black, but I'm just saying because that's savagery. You don't harm anybody unless somebody trying to harm you. That's intelligence. You only harm those who tried to harm you or who are trying to harm you or who have harmed you. That's, that's only intelligence. But a lot of you black men, you don't even care about yourselves or your own brothers or your sisters' well-being. So how do you expect somebody else to care? How do you expect other people to care? How do you expect them to look at you as more, or less? How do you expect them to care about you? They don't care about you. You're not their people. You've become animalistic to them. You've become animalistic to the animals. You've become animalistic, black man and black woman, to the animals, to the human race, the white man and the rest of the animals, you become animalistic, and you're not even an animal. That's why they do what they do to you, because, you know, they attack you. Animals only attack people who are not not savage like them. That's why they attack you, because you're not savage like them, or at least you haven't tapped into that reptilian side of yourself, which is a side you do have of yourself, that reptile side of yourself that you black men and black women do possess, but you don't tap into it. You only tend to tap into it a little bit when it comes to, you know, going against other black men and black women, but there's a real straight reptilian side that you could tap into, and it was scared the hell out of every and anything. But y'all ain't ready for that, right? Because you Negroes, and you use it on each other. You use it on each other. Black men and black women, one of the reasons why y'all ain't coming to power yet is because if y'all came, that's another reason why y'all ain't coming to power in this world, because y'all would, any power you get, you would use it against each other. You would destroy things. You wouldn't conduct yourself in a law and orderly fashion or govern yourself by a set of higher principles and codes of conduct in the name of Amun. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. You would act like savages, right? People who are irresponsible. That's why they constantly try to keep our people irresponsible, and y'all okay with being irresponsible in society. You okay with things not being your fault or not being responsible. You okay with your black woman taking you to court and forcing you to pay child support when you know you're supposed to be like, tell your woman, look, baby, I'm going to pay you this. I'm going to make sure you got this, my baby got this, so you don't have to go before no white man, and he got to tell you to take care of your damn kids. And you don't have to go through that as a man. You don't know how degrading that is, that you would have to go into a court, a woman would have to take you into it, but you black men don't care. Why should somebody have to force you to take care of your children? You should want to take care of your children. You shouldn't want them on any public assistance. You shouldn't want nobody to have to take care of them or feed them or clothe them. That's your job. You was responsible enough to lay down and make them or bring them here. Or be a doorway for them to come here. So you got to be man and woman enough to stand up and take care of them, or else you shouldn't lay down and had them. You know, this is the mentality that's in our people, right? This is the mentality that's in our people. This is the mentality that has dominated the minds of our people. We have to evolve beyond this. I said only a chosen few will evolve beyond this. We raise them in the state of Mandel. This is year one. We want all of our people coming together who are starting to wake up and realizing that there's nothing else for our people out here. The elect that are coming together, there's nothing else for you. The ones of our people who are still out here in the world thinking, oh, you know, this is just a radio broadcast, this is a radio show, you know, New Benin ain't talking about nothing, you know what I mean? That sound good and everything, but, you know, reality is we here, and you know, yeah, y'all part of the two-thirds. You part of the two-thirds, and you waiting to see what's going to happen instead of making things happen. You don't want to make things happen because you really want things to stay the same, because you don't want to be active in the evolution. A lot of our people do not want to be active in this evolution. They don't want to be because they feel like, oh, if everybody ain't taking part, if it ain't more people taking part, more people will take part in the evolution. Trust me. But the time come when you ain't take part in it and you're going to be judged by that because you didn't take part in the evolution, then you're going to be destroyed right with them, those who didn't. Those of our people who knew what it was and understood what time it was and what we was going through, and you chose to do nothing. You chose not to come together with your people and work in the evolution of your people. And then working toward the evolution of your people does not involve you picking up guns or killing nobody or harming nobody. That involves you doing the hardest thing, which is harder than picking up guns with a lot of our people. Even something even harder, that is working on yourself, blaming yourself, accepting responsibility for yourself. See, because when you do that, when you say, okay, it's nobody to blame, it's my fault for everything, I chose to do this, I chose to do that, I chose to do this, I chose to do that. So like I said, that's when you start to be responsible. That's when you start to come back into and lift off this spell and lift off this punishment that's on the black race, this death aura. See, people who are in the living, they take responsibility. People who are dead, they expect to be, or they're taken care of by the living. See, the elite, your white man and all them, they are the living. They are the living. You black men and black women, y'all the dead. Y'all the dead ones. See, they feel like they have a purpose in the world. You understand? The living ones have a purpose in the world. Right? Your black race, they don't have no purpose in the world. A person with no purpose is a dead person. A person who don't know why he here, what he here to do, and everything you say is something stupid. Why you, what you want to do in the world, I don't know. Or I just want to play football. Or I just want to play basketball. Or I just want to, you know. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but if that's just all you want to do, you understand? You don't know no purpose. You don't have no purpose in life. You're a dead person. Living people get up every morning. They born, they looking for their purpose, so they know what their purpose is, and they working toward their purpose, right? See, you got a whole bunch of young black men out here who don't got no purpose. That's why there's going to be more Trayvons to come in America. When you got a bunch of mindless, mentally dead black men, millions of black men who walking around with their pants off their ass, hoodies on their heads, looking for trouble, looking to get into trouble, like I said, those are your dead black men. Those are your Trayvon Martins. Those are the ones who are just waiting to be shot down. And you got a lot of white gun nuts out there waiting to use these little Negroes for gun practice. It could be your son. It could be your nephew. It could be even your daughters. Because now you young black girls, y'all lesbians now. Y'all think y'all boys, and y'all want to walk around like little thugs and hoods. So they'll kill you, too, like that. They don't care. They'll kill you in the heartbeat, too. They're looking for target practice. They're looking for some live action. Right? They're looking for some live action. You know? They're looking to let them rounds off. They're looking to bust them guns. They're tired of shooting at targets. They tired of shooting at crosshairs. They tired of shooting at pictures with black people's face on it. They want to shoot some. They want to get some live ammunition off. They want to put some work in for real on you. Because that make them feel like they give them life. I killed a nigga. And they probably was listening to some hip-hop. They probably listened to some rat-a-tat-tat, put a nigga on his back. Jay-Z, you look like a damn hypocrite out there marching and whatnot. You talked about, could I bring hard knock life? I'll murder everything moving. It's a hard knock life. And then you want to sit up here and show up for Trayvon Martin? Hell, George Zimmerman was probably listening to one of your songs about killing some black man. Or you nigga, Dr. Dre, talking about rat-a-tat-tat, put a nigga on his back. They probably listening to you one of your songs. Because your songs is popular amongst white skinheads and racists, too. Especially for the message of killing niggas. Right? So just by your message alone, you're going to make sure there's more young Trayvons to come in this country. Because these young white racists, they love listening to your music, too. They love listening to the ignorant hip-hop. They love listening to black men talking, kill another black man. That get them charged. So now they think they wiggers or white trash or whatever. So they like, yeah, kill some niggas. Right? Right? That's their mentality. You know? That's their mentality. How can you sit up here and say, oh, you know, you march for that, or you know, you against that, but like I said, the mentality is still the same. Every black man that turned on his radio and you listen to Big Meech and Larry Hoover and talking about Rick Ross and all that, you support that message. You support the dead black men. You support mentally dead black men every time you turn on some black men, some Lil Wayne, some Young Jeezy, whatever the hell you listening to. Every time you turn that on, you supporting the mentally dead black man, the Snoop Dogs. You turn that, you supporting the mentally dead black men. You supporting the Trayvon Martins getting shot down. You support it. What do you think them white boys is listening to, the Mexicans listening to, when they going around talking about they going to kill a nigga? They listening to the same hip-hop you listening to. Same message. Same message in the music. Hell, they saying, hell, if they own people, talking about kill a nigga, hell, then what's wrong with, you know, obviously they don't care about themselves, so why should we care? Let's kill a nigga. You hear that coming from, they hear that coming from their own mouth. You won't hear white boys talking about killing each other and no music, and they rhyming. They not talking about that. Only you black men. You know? Only you black men. Right? So, that is the outcome of the things you face in this society. This is the outcome. This is why you face what you face. This is why what happens to you happens to you. Right? You know? This is why it happens. You black men do it to yourself. I ain't even talking about, oh, you know, the white man. No, you do it to yourself. You don't care about yourselves. Y'all helping produce Trayvon Martins every day, way more than any George Zimmerman could have. You know? You black men in the hood screw-facing each other, ready to fight, ready to set it off, ready to pop it off, ready to bust your gun, ready to cut each other in the face, give each other $1.50, stab each other up. You black women fighting in the street on YouTube like a pack of wild damn dogs. Like animals going wild, not girls going wild. You niggas are more like animals going wild. You understand that? And that's what you want to, that's what the black man, the black woman want to send your kids amongst school. That's what you want your kids educated with? You want your children amongst them? I call on all of you, all of our people who are decent, law-abiding, code, conducting themselves, ready to conduct themselves by this new code and this next law and this next order, ready to conduct themselves by, to come amongst the state of mentality, come amongst the mentalists. We raising the bar amongst ourselves mentally and physically. We raising the bar amongst ourselves. Come amongst your own, because there's not going to be anything out here for the so-called black race. Even you so-called Negroes who got your so-called good jobs, who got your so-called education, you know different than the nigger, than these niggas in the street. You know different. You really know different. Because you black women with your attorney bag, you know, that handkerchief head Negro you married that you went to college with, he a Sambo and a coon just like them Negroes standing in the corner. They serve no purpose to the evolution of the black race. You serve no purpose. None whatsoever. So, we've come to the end of our broadcast. Join us Monday night. We're not going to do a special Saturday or Sunday broadcast because the Sunday is reserved for State of Mentel's reception, the State of Mentel mind reception class, and the evolution class. We're going to be doing our reception on Sunday where I'll be opening up, answering questions for 3 hours. Anything put to me, I'll be answering. Anything from biology of the Aryan race to the mental structure, the biological structure, the things that they don't tell you about our bodies that even they themselves don't know, that it's going to start to be revealed. We're going to be answering all these questions, and we're going to be talking about reading the intelligence of people of all races. So we're going to be talking about that this Sunday. And catch us Monday for the next State of Mentel broadcast. I am the intellectual Amir Nubin Minkarays. This has been State of Mentel Radio. Menzeka Aminun to all of our State of Mentel members, our mentalist members, our Mentelian brothers and sisters. Good night. Dedicate this, you know, to my mother and to all the mothers out there. Most deaf. Umise. Good night.
sometimes I don't know what to do with myself. Passion takes over me. Feel like a man going insane. Losing my brain, trying to maintain. Sometimes I don't want to be bothered. Sometimes I just want a quiet life. Me and my baby, me and my lady. Sometimes I don't want to get in the snowball. Sometimes I don't want to be a soldier. Sometimes I just want to be a man. But pull me, say, shine your light on the world. Shine your light for the world to see. My hobby says, shine your light on the world. Shine your light.
Life, one man, one time, my life, 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 life,